Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Warm welcome to the afternoon show with Bill Arnold. I am Bill Arnold. Awfully glad you're joining me today. We have a great hour coming up, so I'm very excited about that. Dr. David Stevens is going to be with us in just a minute, and then my friend and colleague from Des Moines, prestigious West Des Moines, Patrick Albanese, will be with me in the second half of the hour, so that'll be awfully nice. I saw a very crazy story of a woman that fell off the balcony of her cruise ship. And she survived overnight in the water for 10 hours. And she kept herself occupied by singing. Probably not a bad move if you're in the sea for the night. Alone in a dark sea for the night, I'd be singing too. Please come rescue me. I'd be making up songs left and right. But that's, you know, I love scripture on this show. We're going to try to get a million people to read scripture. And I can't get enough. If you want to have your voice on the show, I would love for you to just call the voice line, 877-933-2484. It'll take you right into our voicemail. And then you just say on the voicemail your scripture verse. So you would say Genesis 1:26, and then you'd read it, and that'd be it, and then you'd be on the show. Because I want to have as many voices as possible. Speaking of Genesis 1:26, here's Becky reading Genesis 1:26.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them.
When you support Faith Radio during our fall fundraiser known as Share, you provide hope and encouragement for all who listen. Whether they hear the relevant Bible preaching and teaching over the air, online through our website and mobile app, or on demand, lives are changed. Your gift of any amount matters, so please call 877-933-2484 and at the prompt, press 2 to begin your dollar a day gift. Thank you.
Here at Faith Radio, we often hear from people who have just recently discovered us and want to know more about who we are and what we offer. If that's you, consider requesting a free Faith Radio welcome packet. It includes information about our programs, hosts, and overall ministry. You can request your free welcome packet anytime at myfaithradio.com. You can also introduce us to others by encouraging them to get their free welcome packet too. Just go to myfaithradio.com, click on the Get Your Welcome Packet link, and we'll send it out right away.
Welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure to connect with Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. And the last I heard, he was on his way on a missions trip to India, so I can hardly wait to find the details of that. Hello, David.
Hello, Bill. How are you doing?
Am I right about the missions trip to India?
Well, it's not exactly a mission trip. I am going to India and there and back in about 7 or 8 days. We have an International Christian Medical and Dental Association, and every 4 years they have a big quadrennial meeting, and doctors from 80 different countries gather, Christian doctors. And I'm going out and I'm going to be speaking, I think, 4 or 5 times during that. So it's a quick trip, if you can do such a thing, to India. I think it takes us 2 days to get there and one long day to get back. So
yeah, that's a lot of sacrifice in terms of travel, but it sounds like it'll be a great time of fellowship. And 7 days is not a lot of time just to try to get your body clock turned around. What is the time difference to India?
It's 9.5 hours. I don't know if I've ever been anywhere that had a half hour difference, but when I looked it up, it said 9.5 hours. I go, okay, that's unusual. But yeah, it takes on average about 1 day for every hour difference in time for your body to adjust. So I'm not going to be there long enough for that to happen. I have packed the sleeping pills already.
Oh, good. Well, they say that 10 hours breaks you, but 9.5 sounds like you're going to be fine. So I'm not worried in the least, David. All right. How is it that Wrigley Gum is going to get into the marijuana business?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's the guy actually who headed that up who is now moving into the whole marijuana industry, which is growing like crazy. And I say industry on purpose because this is not the legalization of marijuana, but the commercialization of marijuana. They're now selling stock on the U.S. Stock Exchange. And it's wow. It's being grabbed up like crazy in these companies that are commercially growing marijuana. And just new data out of Denver, you know, they've been legalized there for a few years now. Last year, they had a 16% increase from the previous year in the amount of sales just in Denver, $580 million worth of pot sold.
Wow.
So this is very much a growth business. And, of course, when you commercialize something, Bill, what do you want to do? You want to get people that don't use it to use it and people that do use it to use more. And that's what's happening with this marijuana issue.
Yeah, I just want to be clear with our listeners that it's not the Wrigley Gum Company, but it's William Bo Wrigley Jr. He's the former CEO of the Wrigley Company, and he has been named the board chairman of this medical marijuana company. And it is becoming a huge business, and it's becoming very normalized. And I can't see any real upside, David, except for the occasional people who have chronic pain, elderly, that might get some relaxation from it. But to be encouraging it to be a recreational drug, there's no happy endings there.
There's not. And we need to realize there's a number of active substances in marijuana, but two mainly we talk about. Cannabinol, which is actually the one that gives you the medicinal effects and some of the things that they're using with unusual situations where nothing else is working in medical issues. It may be spasms. It may be appetite stimulation in cancer patients, that type of thing. But that doesn't give you a high. And so they're now actually opening a company here in our little town of Bristol, 45,000 people, that are going to grow marijuana for the cannabinol effect. But tetrahydrocannabinol, which is THC, we call that, that is what gives you the high, the hallucinations, the buzz that people get. And so I think cannabinol is fine, except we need to make sure we treat it like any other medicine. That's the issue. I mean, when a new drug comes out, what happens? It goes through double-blind studies. It's tested for harmful effect. It's checked to see if it causes side effects when other medicines are being used. And we go through a lot to make that happen. Unfortunately, what is happening with a lot of the promotion of marijuana for medicinal effects and medical cards is go grow some in your backyard, you know, and just take how much you need. And that's legal. We don't treat any other medicine like that, and I think that's dangerous no matter what it is. I mean, you know where we get morphine from? We get it from opium plants. We don't tell patients, well, if you've got pain, grow for opium plants in your backyard, and, you know, here's how you can smoke it, and you'll get some pain relief. No, we purify it. We quantify it. We prescribe it. We know what the side effects are. We know what the proper dosage is. And we do it like we do medicine. And that's my concern about medicinal marijuana. And then recreational marijuana, as you say, I think there's no place. I think we're going to regret the day that we've done what we've done in some states in this country.
You know, David, when it comes to profitability and then you start to do some creative marketing, you're going to find this product in all kinds of substances. And I think we've discussed this before, but this will show up in cookies and gummy bears and just about everything, suckers. It will be incorporated into so many different products that it will desensitize people to, you know, you are taking a powerful drug.
When you go to Colorado, where it's legal, in other states, over 40% of how it's taken is as edibles. And what they do is take things you normally see. Let me give you an example, a gummy bear. They coat it with THC. And the recommended dose of maximum dose of THC in one dose is 10 milligrams. You know how much they put on a gummy bear? 40 to 200 milligrams on
okay,
one gummy bear.
That's alarming.
Have you ever eaten 1/20th of a gummy bear?
No.
I mean, it's impossible. And then it's packaged to look like regular gummy bears with no warning. And it very similar to the original package. And you can imagine the danger to kids. In fact, in Colorado, the number of kids going in for marijuana overdose at the children's hospital has gone up 800% because of that.
That is so disturbing, David, because that has no good ending, especially when it gets into the hands of kids and they think it's candy and I mean, ERs have to be exploding with these kinds of episodes of young people having too much TCH.
THC, yeah.
THC,
yeah.
That's what I said.
I talked to my members out in Colorado, and they say, you know, used to, when our kids were young and they go over to somebody's house, we'd, you know, if we were being very careful, we'd say, maybe, you know, they do a lot of hunting. Make sure your guns are locked up if the kids are coming over, young kids. He says, now we ask if they have any edible marijuana in the house before we let our kids go over, because we're so concerned that they could get into it.
Yeah, well, now in Colorado, there is a majority of DUI drivers that are also testing positive for marijuana. So how does this impair drivers?
Well, it does. In fact, 73% of the 4,000 motorists charged with driving under the influence last year in Colorado had toxic levels of marijuana in their blood. And it's very difficult to test for. There's a new breath analyzer finally coming out, like they do for alcohol now, that I don't know how well it's going to work, but it's been developed and it's supposed to be released soon to deal with this very issue that's it causes problems. What happens is you get a disassociation from time and distance when you smoke marijuana. So you can imagine what that does to your driving. That you can't estimate how far you're away from something and how much time you have before you're going to run into something. And so it's alarming what's going on. And they did a survey, actually, with the Colorado Department of Transportation. And people admitted in the survey, which is not a scientific study, that 70% of them said that they had driven high at least once in the past year for marijuana. And 27%, one out of four, said that they had driven high almost every day. So this is a huge issue as you look at safety for them and for you as you're driving down the road. So that's why I make the point that, you know, we're treating this like it's not a dangerous drug. Everybody says that pushes it. Well, nobody's died of marijuana. That's true. You can take large doses and you won't die, but you can get bombed out of your mind, so you kill other people. You can become paranoid, so you take a gun and kill them or a knife and kill them. That's happening in Colorado. So you may not overdose and die, but it does, and for young people, affects their ability to think for the rest of their life. You give it to 12, 14, 15-year-olds in high doses, and it causes brain damage. So this is not an innocuous substance, and we've got to be very careful as we go forward in this country and how we treat it.
David, I have a question for you about marijuana and Christians, but I'm going to ask you that question right after the break. My guest is Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. We'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. Awfully glad you joined me today. Dr. David Stevens is my guest. He's on the Skype line. He's from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Right before we went to break, David, my tease was, I have a question for you regarding marijuana and Christians. Let's say, for example, now, first of all, I've never done drugs in my life. I don't drink. I never have. I've never done drugs. I've never tried anything. So I'm one of those guys that have just, I'm in that camp, never tried anything camp. So now you're a Christian, you're in Colorado, you have a glass of wine in the evening with dinner at home, you're not driving, you're not going anywhere. That's scenario A. Scenario B is, now, because it's legal, I can have a little bit of medical marijuana, which produces the same relaxing effect that the glass of wine does. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's a lot more complicated to that than a glass of wine. I mean, wine's been well studied. It's fairly low doses of alcohol. And the Bible says very clearly that, you know, even Paul telling, you know, take some wine for your stomach. In fact, there's good studies to show in moderation a glass of wine is actually good for your heart. Marijuana is not the case. And unless you have an illness and a prescription for it, and then I would not advise someone to take a joint because you have over 200 active substance in that. When you smoke it, it damages your lungs. It can cause cancer. It just all sorts of things like cigarette smoking. So will it kill you because you do that? No, but I don't think it's wise because your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is addicting. and you can get addicted to it. And you also set an example for your kids and other people. So, you know, you don't want to harm others with your actions, as the Bible teaches us so clearly. So I would not recommend it. If you need it medically, I would recommend you Marinol, and there's a couple other type of formulations of cannabinol, which are FDA approved, and you can take by mouth and help some of the illnesses that are benefited by cannabinol. So there's ways to get the effect without lighting up and taking the risk with all the other substances that you would get into your body.
That's a brilliant answer, David, and I really appreciate that, because I do know a couple of people who are believers who say, well, it's like having a glass of wine. It just relaxes me, so that's why I do it. And I do the big eye roll at that point.
Yeah. We've had talks about alcohol in our family, and one of the, you know, I have members that drink alcohol in moderation and collect wine, have wine cellars and cellars where they keep it, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. I don't drink wine. I don't like the taste of it, but I think that's fine. But things that are risky and going to cause risk in other people's lives, and one of the reasons I didn't do it, even if I could have, was I didn't want to set example for my kids. They could put them at risk, especially when they were younger. As they got to be adults, if they want to make that decision, and, you know, I'm not going to say you can't bring a bottle of wine at the house if you're doing something with your friends or something, but as children we did, and as teenagers we did, because those are very risky years, and they're too young, and their minds are not well-formed enough to be making decisions like that, and they can get very quickly into the alcohol consumption the group that's going on at the school, and end up getting drunk and all sorts of things because of the people they hang around with.
Mm-hmm. David, before we get off the topic of marijuana, let me just ask you about synthetic marijuana. Now, recently there's a story in Connecticut where there's been approximately 70 people that have overdosed in a park on synthetic weed. I mean, this is, I think the substance is called K2. Can you speak about that at all?
Yeah, I actually read that article. I haven't seen any scientific studies about it, but there was very much concern with the K2 substance, and then secondly, that it had been adulterated with other drugs. Sometimes, you know, they put LSD, they put other stuff on it to get a high, and somebody did something that was very dangerous and put a lot of people at risk, and some people died from it, and others were very sick. Any kind of drugs bought off the street, you're an enormous risk. You don't know what's been in there, what's been put on it, if it is what they say it is. And, you know, that makes even greater danger for people who are buying drugs on the street. And the same is true with marijuana. You know, marijuana, they can grow it to about 12% THC, but now in Colorado, they spray it with a concentrate of THC, which goes up to 30%. Usually, but you don't know, they may have sprayed it with the concentration that took it up to 85%. Mm-hmm. So when you're buying this stuff, you know, on the street, and you take even greater risk as a drug user on what it can do to you. And this is an example of what happened that you described.
All right, David, let's change the tone from a dramatic D chord to a happy G chord here. Let's talk a little bit about the Christian Medical and Dental Association and how the members are really joyfully serving people around the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, our vision is transform doctors, transforming the world. And their world may be here in the United States, or it may be halfway around the world, as Jody, my wife, and I and our three kids served in Kenya. About 900 of our members are long-term career missionaries, many of them in Africa, but all over the world. If you look at Africa, still 40 to 70% of the hospital beds in sub-Sahara Africa are found in mission and church facilities. And so the need is huge, and the opportunity is even greater. That's what I get so excited about, because as a physician here in the United States, for example, I'll see 4,000 to 5,000 patients a year as a family practice doc if I was practicing here in the U.S. So you have 4,000 or 5,000 people who you know well, you know intimately. They trust you. You have the opportunity in those junctures in life to point them to Christ when serious illness is happening with them or their children, or just in an everyday conversation. In fact, we've taught over 20,000 healthcare professionals how to share their faith with permission and with a limited amount of time in a curriculum we call Grace Prescriptions. And so how do you raise faith flags and let people know that you're willing to talk about these topics? How do you incorporate a faith story as you talk to them of how God impacted your life? How, when the opportunity comes and people with permission want to hear what you have to say, how do you share the gospel with them? How do you build relationships with the local church? We tell our members that we want Paul and Luke to get back together again. Luke was the physician. Paul was the, you know. And so how do we build these bridges? We have members that have their pastors come in and do counseling in their practice a half day or a day a week in one of their exam rooms. So we think that's the way it should be, and these people make a big difference. Then, of course, the healthcare around the world that we provide through medical missions saves many, many lives in areas where there really are no other options.
Well, I love what you just said because it gives me so much encouragement. Do you see the students coming through medical schools right now? Do you see them with the kind of passion that excites you, or what kind of vision do they have coming out of medical school?
Yeah, millennials are very much into justice and helping others, which is a good thing. We are now working on 302 medical and dental school campuses where there's CMDA chapter students meeting regularly. Each week, about 15,000 students are in our meetings. And what we're doing is helping them grow spiritually, but also teaching them how to combine their faith with the practice of healthcare. Dealing with ethical issues, dealing with the challenges they're going to face with burnout, how to keep a strong marriage, how to handle their finances when they finally are not in huge debt. The average medical student now comes out with over $200,000 worth of debt at the end of their training. And so how do you be a good steward when you're making more money than you've ever made before in your life? How do you serve the poor in your own community? How do you have a voice in pro-life issues, serving at the crisis pregnancy center or speaking out or training in the church? And so we want to take them during those formative years when so much is coming at you. How do you process this and practice like Christ would? And as we know, he was called the great physician. We have a wonderful role model for that.
Mm-hmm. David, is Jody going with you to India?
She is not. She's wiser than to go to India 1 week and back.
Seven days.
I'm going with one of my other doctors who's going to be speaking there as well, so I have a traveling companion.
Yeah, but you'd have to make the package more attractive to get Jody to go with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, David, blessings on your trip and blessings on your presentations in India. And thank you so much for joining me today on the show. I always look forward to talking to you, and you're a delight to learn from. Thank you so much.
It's always a blessing to be with you, Bill. Thanks.
You bet. Dr. David Stevens has been my guest from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll have lots more.
Thank you so much for your generous support. Because of your gifts, God is at work through the Faith Radio programs. We recently heard from one faithful listener.
I was really impacted by the sermon about the sower and the reaper and how we should have confidence in going out and sharing the gospel. It's exciting to think about, and I really appreciated that message.
Do you have a story to share about Faith Radio? We'd love to hear from you. Call our Faith Line at 877-933-2484.
Do you know the language your teen is speaking? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. At last week's Teen Choice Awards, Riverdale dominated, Anna Kendrick threw shade at Ryan Reynolds, and Chris Pratt said loving God was his thing. American teens voted on winners in categories such as Choice Female Artist, Choice Male Hottie, and Choice Hissy Fit. Look, American pop culture might be trivial, but it's the air that many kids live and breathe, and it's shaping their answers to very important questions. The 2018 MTV Video Music Awards will air tonight, August 20th. Sexualized performances are typical, and last year's VMAs addressed issues like racism, body image, and mental health. Keeping up with pop culture can be overwhelming. That's why I love the Culture Translator from Axis, a weekly update about the latest happenings in pop culture, technology, and media that can help you keep up with what's influencing your kids on a daily basis. Come to breakpoint.org to find it. I'm John Stone Street.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could
while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain,
and
my head. I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Welcome back to the show. It's 32 minutes after the hour. I have on our Skype line my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines, Patrick Albanese, who is a comedian, magician, provocative thinker, rare gem appraiser, and French poodle connoisseur. Hello, Patrick.
Good day. You know, as I'm listening to the Scarecrow do his bit,
yes.
And you asked me, a year and a half ago, you said, you need some theme music. And without hesitation, I said, if I only had a brain. And so the people know that you're not just, you know, saying, and my next guest, he ain't that smart. I picked it, and I realized that one of the real reasons I picked it is you can't be unhappy listening to that song.
No, you can't. It's a great way to start. I love it, and I look forward to it, and it makes me happy every time I hear it.
It just puts a grin on your face. You go, what a happy, happy, happy song.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about things that make me happy and make you happy and make listeners happy. And one of them is people like to laugh. It feels good. And it's interesting now. Kurt Schlichter wrote an article for Town Hall that comedy threatens liberalism, so liberals want to kill it.
Yeah, it used to be their weapon.
Yes. And that's back when comedy was funny.
Yes. And then they realized that they could use it to drive home political points. And what people on the right figured out shortly thereafter is, well, we too can play that game. They just assumed that nobody on the right could be funny. They thought that they had, the franchise on that. And then when the right started making fun of them, they said, whoa, 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 we don't do jokes about stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, about what? Whatever it is you're talking about, it's out.
And then the late night comics, Schlichter was saying in his article, they're more like cheerleaders. They don't get laughs. They just get applause for repeating the shared wisdom of the elite. It does seem like it's a one-sided bash.
Well, you know, I remember this in all my years in Los Angeles, and I was back there a couple of weeks ago, and I got to enter, a couple of the echo chambers. And I said, oh, that's right. And there's sort of the – I don't know if I'd call it a dog whistle, but people are always testing the waters to see, are you like-minded? I assume you're like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
So let me throw a couple of zingers here, how much I hate Trump and that I think that pretty soon, we're all going to be locked up in camps. And so they throw out something subtle like that, How long before we're all locked up in camps? What do you think? And then if you volley back, they say, oh, great. But they usually just assume that you are. And the thinking goes like this. They say, well, I'm smart. And this is what I think. And I know that you're smart, at least as far as I can tell, you appear to be smarter than me. Therefore, you must think the exact same thing that I think, because if you don't, maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am. And if I were half as smart as I thought I was, I'd still be twice as dumb as you think I may be.
I don't know if anyone's going to figure that one out, but I like where you were going with that.
I'm just throwing it out there. But, when you sit in those rooms, which are now called TV studios, and you throw out these things and you get the big hoots and the hollers and the applause. Well, first off, the only people going to, be in the studio audience for those shows are going to be like-minded anyway. So mm-hmm. it's kind of guaranteed.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of another place you used to live, Los Angeles being one, Chicago being the place you grew up, I found it interesting that Rahm Emanuel finally says something which made a lot of sense. Yet he came under unbelievable fire for it. He said, and I quote, "This may not be politically correct, but I know the power of what faith and family can do. Our kids need that structure. I am asking that we also don't shy away from a full discussion about the importance of family and faith helping to develop and nurture character, self-respect, a value system, and a moral compass that allows kids to know good from bad and right from wrong." And he got excoriated for that.
Oh, he'll get kicked out of the party for that. you don't belong here. I don't know. I don't know if I want to just, be gleeful in the fact that he got pushback on really great common sense ideas, because they are. But there's a part of me that says, well, you pushed the opposite narrative for years, and you went to these people and said, look, it's not your fault, the situation you're in. And just if you elect us, we'll put some more government programs in place that will do the trick and we'll fix everything. And of course, they failed every single time. They enact strict gun control. Now they have gun violence that's crazy, completely counterintuitive. Boy, it's the hardest place in the world to buy a gun, and yet they have 50 how many murders this past weekend?
Well, they had
50?
Another bad weekend, didn't they?
And he's kind of run out of options. And like a lot of us that have had, gone through rough times in our life, sometimes we say, maybe I'll just crack open this Bible and see what it says. And it's like, sure enough, there's some sage advice in there that's only lasted a few thousand years and raised countless generations of people under God's good graces.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, of 60, course he's going to.
61 people were shot over the weekend.
Hey,
this
yikes.
Is a couple of bad weekends back to back they've had. I want to say it was. These are getting to be significant numbers.
I imagine for some of these people in these neighborhoods that part of their being upset with Rahm Emanuel is, oh, so now this is all our fault. I'm not saying it is, and I'm not saying it isn't, because I will be Weasley that way. But, I mean, you know, some of these people are you can't blame them. They're trying hard to raise their kids right in a tough culture. Maybe they can't afford to get out of that area of town. And so they are doing all the right things, but it doesn't mean that their, you know, innocent child isn't going to be walking down the street one day and get gunned down. And so to have the mayor say, well, you know, if people just raise their kids right, and these people are saying, I do all those things you say, and you have failed to protect us. So, he's going to get pushback. I imagine he'll change his tune pretty soon and say, well, I wasn't saying everybody. And then he'll have to walk it back, because I don't even know why he brought that up, unless he's just out of things to say.
I bet he is. I can't think of any other reason he would. But it certainly is interesting he's gotten so much pushback on it.
Yeah. Now, don't forget, this is the guy that, you know, in the White House, when they would have this this philosophy called stray voltage, and they liked disasters. And he was the one that made that saying famous, never let a crisis go to waste.
Was that him? That came up with that?
I believe it was Rahm Emanuel.
Okay. Who, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So you say, well, you know, you've been exploiting this crisis to maybe pass some of your gun control laws, and it got worse and worse and worse. And now people are demanding answers as to what are you going to do about this? And he says, yeah, it's kind of up to you guys. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. But you know what? It's Chicago, and I grew up there, and Richard Daley was, the mayor for life, basically. And people used to laugh about the Daily Machine and how crooked it was, but they'd say, but the city really runs well, so we don't care. And mm-hmm. He's a Democrat, and you had to be a Democrat in Chicago.
Yeah. Now, you grew up in Chicago. You grew up Catholic.
Suburbs
of Chicago. You grew up Catholic. And so I'm just curious as to what your the way you were taught and how you came to understand clergy when you were a kid growing up.
I actually worked at the church rectory for it was actually after my father died. One of the priests said, why don't you come work at the rectory? And it was actually kind of fun. We had many services. It was a very large Catholic church in Arlington Heights. And at the time, I'm a 13-year-old kid. And they'd say, here's what we need you to do. You and Mike Lindsay, my friend Mike Lindsay, we were the two guys. And Mike Lindsay was 14, so he had seniority. We would take these white canvas bags and we would go to each service, empty the collection baskets, and we'd walk down Main Street, Arlington Heights, with thousands of dollars in cash. And then we would bring it back to the church rectory and dump it into a safe. And that was perfectly normal. That,
wow.
I'm thinking, if I were a bad guy, I knew that, I'd say, okay, there's a 13 and a 14-year-old carrying, they each have two canvas bags loaded with money.
Did it have the dollar sign on it, like in the cartoons?
That was the only thing missing. But six or seven times a day on a Sunday, they're walking down the busiest street with thousands of dollars to dump into the coffers. And I look back and I think, they trusted me. I mean, I never took a dime. I wouldn't dream of it. You're going, I'm working for priests. This is a real, you don't steal from these guys. But yeah, it had I was very fortunate. Our church had a tremendous sense of community. When my father passed away, there were a million people there to be a surrogate dad to me. Mm-hmm. And the church was one of those places.
Yeah.
I still found the message boring most Sundays. I'm like, I really like you. You've been helping me out a lot, so I'll
but
listen.
In your neighborhood, did you not figure out when you were making friends and you asked somebody where they lived, didn't they sometimes identify themselves by the parish they were a part of? So you could, yeah, you can instantly go, oh, I know where you live based on your answer.
Yeah, and pretty much the majority of that town went to St. James, it seemed like. Everybody went to that church.
Mm-hmm.
And although we got made fun of the kids that went to the Catholic school because we had the uniforms, and I had to walk through the baseball area, the playground area of the public school in my shirt and tie every day on my way to school. And they'd say, ah, St. James kid. And I'd say, ah, I got better teachers.
All right, Patrick, let me take a little break. When I come back, lots more with Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines. Be right back.
Roams around with sticks and stones, passing out his moans and groans. Devil ain't no lazy bones, he works 24 hours a day.
It is 14 minutes until the top of the hour. Speaking to Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines. And Patrick, before we went to break, you were talking about your experience growing up in the suburbs of Chicago with attending a Catholic church. And obviously the Catholic church is in the news with all of the allegations and all the cover-ups, and it's a very sad story. I was been reluctant to bring this up and continue the discussion any further, but I mean, there's a crisis of faith. I know a lot of the parishioners are closing their wallets and they're rebelling, and you see churches that are being sold and turned into condominiums.
Yeah, which would be just odd to me if they, like my old, you know, grade school, and they said, hey, here's your old third grade classroom, two bedrooms, one bath. It would just feel weird. You can't, of course, defend any of this behavior. It's the worst of the worst. There is a part of me that says, of course, it makes a lot of sense that if Satan were to get his minions installed anywhere to do the most damage, this would be a great place.
Mm-hmm.
It's working, I'm guessing, as planned. But I think when people, you know, when you just close your wallet, sometimes I'm a peculiar guy, and I have to catch myself sometimes where I almost grade a sermon at church. I'm going, yeah, well, that's a $20 sermon. I recognize some bits. It's got a little bit of a rerun feel to it.
Uh-huh.
And I thought he was reaching at it, you know. The other week I walk up to our senior pastor. I said, you know, nice sermon, although it got a little preachy there. he said, I'll get to work on it. But, I know that that's just the cheap part of me saying, well, you don't want to put the big bucks in, you know, so you need to justify why you're putting the little bucks in today. And that is because, well, it's kind of, it's not it's that other pastor. And, you know, he doesn't draw the big bucks like the other guy does. I'm not happy with the subject material. And so when people are, you know, at the Catholic Church, if they're closing their walls to the Catholic Church, I hope they're opening them up somewhere else and not just using it as an excuse not to either donate to a charity or find a new church or do something to continue, because the good work still needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what upsets me, is that the damage is pretty far reaching.
Yeah. Patrick, you've got kids ages 9 and 7. Do I have that right?
EJ turned 8 the other day successfully.
Okay, awesome. So I found this very interesting. There was an article that came out about doctor's orders. And the doctor's orders are, let children just play. And the idea was there's some skills that are to be learned when kids aren't being told what to do. And you and I both know that when we had summer vacation, we were basically kicked out of the house by 9 o'clock, and then we showed up at dinner time. And what we did throughout the day was whatever we figured out to do.
Well, and I think that is great advice. In fact, when the kids are done taking down the peach tree out back, I'm going to let them play a little bit. my wife and I are actually pretty good about, hey, kids get to be kids. Kids get to be kids. And, we go to the doctor now, and part of this is thanks to Obamacare, where you're getting interrogated by the doctor, say, how many ounces of juice, how many cups a day, how many times do you eat fast food, how many movies do you watch? It's amazing, and they want to know all this stuff, and it all goes into a computer. And so, of course, you do the natural thing. You just lie.
Mm-hmm.
Fast food. What? No. I mean, if you consider Chateaubriand fast food. But it feels intrusive. And, I saw a thing, California recently outlawed straws, and now they're looking at making it illegal for restaurants to serve anything other than milk or water with kids' meals.
Wow. So no juice, no pop, nothing.
Nothing. And they say, well, we're doing it to combat childhood obesity. And so, of course, people say, oh, yay. And they do the little golf clap thing. We think that's fantastic that you meddle in people's lives. And I go, oh, my gosh. But if you give them this, that it is going to get to, your kids can't walk to the park alone. They can't they won't be able to drink juices and sodas. And, oh, sure, there's a lot more of that stuff than there was when you and I were kids. But you have to admit, it was pretty cool when you got that special Pepsi.
Oh, it was great. I don't want to be dating us, but I mean, I remember when President Cleveland was making some of these declarations when we were kids.
Well, he is the first president you voted for, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, you weren't old enough to actually vote, but in the House, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I come from an area, and I don't even know if they still do this, because we just called it pop. And not every place calls it pop.
I called it pop.
Yeah, see, that's, I think, kind of a Midwestern.
That's a Midwestern thing. Yeah, it's soda. It's soda in Texas.
But, my mom, I'm sure she, similar to your mom, would say, we're having fried chicken for dinner, and she'd take out that tub of Crisco, which was just solidified grease. You remember that thing?
Yeah, it was always out, because she used it to bake cookies and used it to make chicken. And
she would take these globs of basically white material. I don't know what it was. Throw it into the pan. And you say, you grow up, and later you say, nobody made fried chicken like my mom. It's like, well, let me explain why. Because it would be illegal, and it's a lethal dose of cholesterol or something else. I don't even know if you could still buy that stuff. But I wish we could do it. Come on. We survived childhood. We survived without helmets. We drank our soda pops. We some candy. We went to the, we'd get a few bucks in our pocket or whatever, 50 cents, and we'd walk to the local drugstore to buy some Necco wafers. And, I don't want to overly watch everything my kids do.
Right. We ate Pixie Sticks. It's like a little tube of sugar.
Right. Well, I used to remember that, you go, how bad can Kool-Aid be? It comes in that tiny little package, right?
Right.
Read the instructions. Put in 2 pounds of sugar, and then add the packet of flavor. You go, there's nothing in here.
Yeah.
Just a couple of crystals of flavor.
Yeah, and Rebecca was nice enough to point out and remind me, because I lived in the South for a while, that in the South, everything is Coke. What kind of Coke do you want? I'll have a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Or a cola. Where was it? I lived somewhere. That might have been Florida, where I think it was a cola. Remember, cola.
Mm-hmm.
When we were kids, we didn't get to do many vacations, but my aunt in Columbus, Ohio, my aunt and uncle owned a restaurant that had a drive-thru. It was a pizzeria Italian restaurant. And so my dad would rent a Winnebago, take us there, and we would do our vacation living in the Winnebago in the parking lot of their restaurant. And then for the daytime activity, the kids would work the drive-thru, and it was all the sodas you could drink. That was your pay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was where you started to do the, huh, I wonder what a little of, you know, like one third Mr. Pibb, two shots of Dr. Pepper, a little 7-Up, some mm-hmm. cherry, you know, and you'd mix these things together and say, "It's I've perfected it. I've invented my own soft drink. I can't duplicate the formula."
Yeah. Well, we've got NFL coming up again, and ESPN has got one solution to the national anthem. They're just not going to televise it.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking that's pretty clever because ESPN, of all people, are taking away this moment of protest from the players. They're saying, well, your protest will fall on deaf ears, mm-hmm. or blind eyes. One of the senses will be muted. There will be I think it's an okay idea. I mean, I don't often tune in to watch the national anthem anyway. So do you? They kind of killed that for me.
No, I don't. I don't even bother anymore.
Yeah. I would love to go back to enjoying football. I would love to go back to enjoying late night comedy.
Oh, me too.
If they could just start it at 7:00, that would help out a lot. But, I'm tired of everything being politicized.
Yeah. Patrick, my guest I had on previous to you, we were talking about how joyful people think. And one of the questions was, you know, where should Christians find pleasure? I mean, we're talking about some joy killers. I mean, we don't like doing this anymore. We don't like doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So you're where do you find pleasure in your life?
I like to garden.
Okay.
I mean, but I do, as you know, I don't want to call it playing the banjo, but I pick up a banjo
mm-hmm.
and I do things with it, and something that resembles a song comes out. But I, for some reason, when I go out and I'm working with my zinnias or my dahlias, or even I've gone marigold crazy and they're the easiest plant in the world to grow, everything else shuts off. I don't know why. Mm. I mean, I go out there. I don't bring sound with me. I don't bring a radio. I don't even bring music. And I just dig in the dirt. And I have absolutely no idea why that brings me a tremendous amount of peace.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it brings you joy as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Joy and peace.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know,
I don't ask for much in life, just enough money to put gas in the maid's Ferrari.
Exactly. That's just want to live a very simple life. But, you know, we think about Philippians 4:8, and it's really a path to joy. And, you know, I like asking, you know, what do you do to be joyful? Because I think there's performers in general, I think we all have a little bit of a dark cloud hanging over our head from time to time, and we don't have much time left, so I'm just going to give you a big out here, but I think we have to be intentional about pursuing joy.
I think so. Performers, because I think performer type people have higher highs, lower lows. You know, one minute you're on stage in front of hundreds of people getting a standing ovation, and the next day you're out of work. And so you say, how do I balance that marvelous high with that, you know, depressing low?
Yeah. Patrick, always nice to talk to you, and I'll chat with you again probably tomorrow. So thanks for being on the show, and have a great night.
All right. You too.
Yeah. That wraps up our show. Thank you so much for listening. Really great to have you with me today. It's if you missed any of the day's show, and I have to say it was a top-notch show, go back to myfaithradio.com. And you can get the podcast of any one of today's episodes and interviews, and you can listen to them, podcast them, send them on to a friend who might enjoy hearing what was discussed today. But just have a great night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.